Translation. Lord Manu said, the Supreme Living Being has created this material world of animation. It is not that he was created by the material world. When everything is silent, the Supreme Being stays awake as a witness. The living entities does not know him, but he knows everything. Purport. Here is a distinction between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities. Nityo Nityananam Chaitadas Chaitananam. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is the Supreme Eternal, the Supreme Living Being. The difference between the Supreme Being and the ordinary living being is that when this material world is annihilated, all the living entities remain silent in oblivion, in a dreaming or unconscious condition, whereas the Supreme Being stays awake as a witness of everything. This material world is created, it stays for some time, and then it is annihilated. Throughout these changes, however, the Supreme Being remains awake in the material condition of all living entities. There are three stages of dreaming. When the material world is awake and put into working order, this is a kind of dream, a waking dream. When the living entities go to sleep, they dream again. And when unconscious at the time of annihilation, when the material world is unmanifest, they enter another stage of dreaming. At any stage in the material world, therefore, they are all dreaming. In the spiritual world, however, everything is awake.
Shri Chaitanya Manobisnam Stapadam Yena Bhutale Swain Rupagadamayam Dati Swapadantikam.
When Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who established the material world, a mission to fulfill desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. So we had three stages of dreaming mentioned in this. It's like daydreaming, you know. Sometimes I remember in school I was accused of daydreaming a lot. You know, you just start, you know, you go off in a dream, you know. And then you have the dream where people dream anyway. They go to bed and they dream, or Bhagavatam class or whatever, they dream. And then you have time when the universe is annihilated, then it's a really long dream, you know, like you're. And it's here is emphasizing how the Lord remains awake, you know. So, because it's also like you have many times people are they're accused of. I know many of my clients. They're accused of, you know, like imagining things or living in a fantasy world. You know, I'll tell you where you go. Any Sunday morning, you walk into London early and you see people all over the place talking to themselves, you know, coming out of clubs, like zombies, you know, just. So they're like, they're definitely in a major illusion. Some people might think he's Napoleon or different things, you know. But actually, the Bhagavatam says that. Actually, everybody out there from you know, David Cameron to Tony Blair to Putin or whoever is out there, they're all dreaming. You know, it's a dreamlike state of, you know, it's not going anywhere. There's an example here in the, also mentions in the second canto, a dreaming man creates many things in the dream, and thus he himself becomes the entangled seer of the dream and is also affected by the consequences. The material creation is also exactly a dreamlike condition of the Lord. But he, being the transcendental supersoul, is neither entangled nor affected by the reactions of such a dreamlike creation. He is always in his transcendental position, but essentially he is everything and nothing is apart from him. One should therefore concentrate on him only as his part and parcel without deviation, otherwise one is sure to be overcome by the potency of the material creation, one after another. So it's like that. It's a dreamlike state. Material world is real, but it's temporary. It's temporary, so it's not rated very highly from a spiritual point of view. It's like you're just caught up in Maya, by Maya, actually, you know. Actually, it's a funny thing like that. There's actually Eric Clapton said that about George Harrison. He said some days he would just see everything as just Maya. So even when Eric Clapton went off with George Harrison's wife, he said, yeah, take her, it's just Maya anyway. So he was like talking like that, you know. Sometimes a living entity gets a little glimpse. But although it's the illusory energy, the devotee has to still live within the material world. So we have to utilize the material creation in the service of Lord Krishna. So that's why devotees, even though we're conditioned, it's a bad bargain, we're situated within the material body, so we can still utilize our abilities to serve the Lord, just like somebody made this garland for Krishna and, you know, put the flowers nicely. You know, like, you don't just randomly do it. You count the flowers, you place them in, you see what you got, you know what the outfits the deities are wearing, you try and match if you have the right flowers. So, like that, you engage what would normally, it's the flowers are already dead, to be honest, you know, but you utilize them while they still have some life to in the service of Krishna. So like that ourselves, while the material body is still going, we should engage that in the service of Krishna, because we don't know how long. You can judge how long the flowers will live. You know, they usually live a day or two. In fact, wildflowers, by the evening, they're all dead. Krishna likes wildflowers, forest flowers, vanamali. He likes the flowers of the forest because they have some smell. It's kind of a bit of a smell. So it's engaging the material energy in the Lord's service without being affected by the material energy. It's probably described as catching a big fish without getting wet. So somehow, and that is why we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, because he tells us how we can live in the material world and engage in Krishna consciousness, and at the end go back to the spiritual world. That is the advantage we have of having a spiritual master. He's able to... Prabhupada created a system where what time you get up in the morning, what type of tilak you put on, where you take a shower, what clothes to wear, what mantras to chant. He's made it very easy. It's not like we all have to discover what we need to be doing every day. We all kind of know what we should chant Hare Krishna and how much. Well, we should chant 16 rounds at least. And then what should we do every day? What kind of food should we eat? You know, we don't need to study it and research it. The spiritual master tells us what we should do, what we should eat, how we should offer it, what mantras we should chant to offer the prasadam, what kind of prasad Krishna likes. You know, and the wonderful thing is Krishna likes very delicious prasadam. So it's not like that we have to, you know, force ourselves to take prasadam. Prasadam, you know, Krishna likes, you know, nice prasadam. I was at a cookery competition just, not last week, the week before. And I was in a big place in Nebort House, it's up the A1M. And I'm looking at what the other people are cooking, and I'm thinking, like, my God, you know, what are these people cooking, you know? There was actually one group beside me, and they were, I'm just made the kitchery, you know, poor man's feast, fit for a king. You know, it was very tasty and nice and simple. They just chop some vegetables and throw it in. And the guy's next to me, everybody is cooking. They have these knives, like a selection of knives, like four knives here and four knives there. And you can see that, well, in Krishna consciousness, we just need one small knife. We chop the vegetables and there they are. Nice cauliflower, nice potatoes, nice eggplant or pepper, some peas, some, you know, nice thing, you know. You can see it's nice, smells nice, and it's harmless. The guy next to me has this, like, cleaver, and he's whacking this crab, you know. And the crab, big, pinchy crab, and, you know, because the crab has its shell, its skeleton outside the body. So he has to smack, you know, it's like, it's meant for living under the... Imagine the idea, okay, let's get a boat together and go out and catch these creepy little things in the bottom of the ocean and bring them back and sell them and then... I'd go to such endeavor to prepare them, you know. And the masses were ripping the legs off and throwing them, and I'm thinking, like, gosh, you know. And the guy says to me, oh, what are you cooking? I could see what he was cooking. I said, oh, I made some kitchery. Oh, kitchery, I love kitchery, you know. I said, well, leave the crabs alone, you know. So there was like, we have nice prashad. This guy who was judging it, they're eating all kinds of stuff, you know, bizarre stuff, you know, people cooking bizarre types of meat and bizarre types of, in all kinds of bizarre ways, and garlic and onions, and they're like, you can see these chefs were like experienced, they'd chop up the garlic very quickly and they'd do it in certain ways, they'd squash it first, and, you know, it's like, God, you know, the stink of it. But the guy who took the prashadam, the judge, his name is Lloyd Grossman. Actually, I'll read a little thing for you, since I just... I'm not doing any magic tricks today, but I just thought I'd read you this. It was a competition. It was an interesting competition because they actually came to see me at Matchless Gifts, and their office wasn't that far away, and they wanted, you know, would I take part in it. And then I went through Yamuna's cookbook, you know, and I think, what would I cook, you know? You know, it was all nice things you could cook. And then I thought, well, why don't I just make khichdi, you know? And it's like, poor man's feast, fit for a king. And then it kind of turned out that this is what they wanted to see, because then they came and they wanted to see the big pots and cooking the big pots. And then they went out. You've probably seen them here for Guru Puja. They came for evening aarti as well. They came four times. They came out in the van, they interviewed the homeless people. And this dirty old homeless guy, crusty fellow, and I never spoke to him before. You know, I just saw him, oh my gosh. And he says, he interviewed him, and I think, what he's going to say, you know. And he goes, first thing he said, it's very important to have karma-free food that's been offered to Krishna. And I was thinking like, what, you know. It's like also, I was at St. Paul's one time, that place where everybody's occupying, you know, all the tents were out there. This really crusty guy comes up, you know, old man with a beard, and I can see him in the corner of my eye, and I'm thinking, gosh, here he comes now. And he goes, oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu, what kind of prashad have you got? You know, he's a devotee, you know. So you don't know who the people are. So anyway, it gave me a great opportunity to present the philosophy, and also present karma and reincarnation and how you must eat sattvic food, otherwise your next life, you know, is not sure where you'll be, and also the suffering you cause. And then we also present from an economic point of view, because nowadays, I was in Asda this morning, and I look at the headlines of the paper, and there's all cuts, and, you know, the big, you know, people have to really tighten their belts now. They have to don't have so much money, and people have to cook, and a lot of people now are suffering because they're not even able to buy proper food. You know, they go to the supermarket, they're checking the prices, and I actually checked the price like yesterday in Costco. That thing of strawberries cost £5.25, just one little thing of strawberries. A little thing of cream cost, it was also £5. A little thing of corn, a few corns in it, again, almost £5. So things are very expensive and people are suffering. So we, in Krishna consciousness, we actually have a solution, you know. And I didn't really dawn on me much, but Prabhupada has given us something very practical. Even a simple thing as khichdi, if people eat this, you can have 10 times the population of the planet can eat nicely, rather than producing animals for slaughter. So the media took up on that. They saw, well, people are struggling. And actually, I kind of, because we eat prasad every day and we don't realize that this kind of food that we're eating can actually support the population 10 times more. You know, there's no scarcity of food. The planet can maintain it, but it cannot maintain people catching crabs and fish and meat and all these things. This is not for human consumption. So it gave us an opportunity. Anyway, I'll read you a poem. I didn't write this. It was actually Mahamantra Das wrote this. In several months' time, you probably see my face on Master Chef. I'm on the TV. Stood next to me, televised for the nation. Another chef brutally crushed a crustacean. And sadly, that wasn't the worst that I saw. For the sake of a steak, there was so much blood and gore. Chefs were cooking up bodily parts, sheep's stomachs, cow's liver, and poor piggy's hearts. I felt pretty queasy, and I said to the host man, "To kill for some brief happiness, Lloyd, it's gross, man." For some fleeting pleasure, we send things to their graves. We haven't advanced from those guys in the caves. What I'd done was, it's a slideshow, it's on Dundavats, but at Nebord House, they have like fancy gardens, and they made all these dinosaurs in all the gardens and had all these cavemen. So there was no security, so I jumped in with the cavemen and, you know, goofed around. We took photographs. And we took photographs of all the dinosaurs. And of course, you know, we were messing around with the dinosaurs. There was a big bird, like a big chicken thing. And, I put my head in its mouth and in my arm. And we messed around. A big crocodile. Because there used to be crocodiles on this planet, like the length of this room. Big crocodiles, you know. Anyway, we were goofing around. It's a nice slideshow. Okay, for my presentation, I made a nice dish, free from dead cattle or any dead fish. Lloyd came by to taste it and he said, "Wow, that's great." When the camera stopped rolling, he ate the whole plate. I used to get your food back in the day and the pleasant memories have not gone away. Did he give me the first prize? Well, no, but I planted a seed that will hopefully grow. Millions of viewers will all get to see Lloyd's seal of approval for food karma free. And if in this lifetime you're partial to chicken, you're destined to come back and get a good kicking. They don't realize that the butcher and the farmer, consumer and chef, get their share of karma. From a 20-foot bird or a huge crocodile, next time you're in Tesco, browse the veggie food aisle. It wasn't me. It's Mahamantra. So we got a chance to present our philosophy, which was a nice thing. So this is these people are in a very dreamy state because they're eating these crazy things, putting them in their mouth, eating them, and not realizing that there's the law of karma of action and reaction. So it's very much in the mode of ignorance. People in the mode of ignorance do stupid stuff. You know, they give away stuff. They give away money, or they just neglect stuff, or they let things waste and rot. So it's like a symptom of the mode of ignorance. And it's like when you're really dreaming and you don't know what you're really doing, then you will act in the mode of ignorance. So even though there may be like beautiful restaurants, but people are eating really bad stuff, and in the future they get terrible karmic reaction. So it's a duty of someone who knows that, yes, you're going to get awful reaction. You should inform them. You should let them know. And that is the importance of book distribution and any kind of preaching that we can do to present this philosophy, because there is an urgency to present this. There's an urgency. In fact, I was in Paris a little while ago, and I was walking past, you know, they have all these restaurants outside, and people are eating all this, like, shellfish. It's basically like slugs, you know. Or, you know, they're eating, you know, it's not like when you go into the garden today and you see a slug on the ground, you go, woo. I'll have that one, you know. But people do, you know. People say, wow, big snail, that was, oh, frog, that will, you know. Like when we were in Bengal, the Maharaj was giving this class, and there was all these villagers around us. We were right by the bank of the river, the Ganga. It was very close to Ganga Sagar. And the Maharaj is preaching away, and next thing there's a fisherman right next to us, and he caught a small fish, about this big. For them, that was a big fish. And all the people, attention just like, you know, diverted. They were like, wow. You know, like they were like nearly dribbling, you know, looking at that fish. And the Maharaj just couldn't believe it, you know. It was like, you know, for them that was like brilliant. That was like, you know, finding a, you know, if someone left a couple of Mangalarti sweets behind the counter back there, and you happened to be, wow, found someone's Mongol sweets, you know. You know, like, it's like that. They found this fish, like they're eating these snails. So this weekend we're going to Paris, and we're going to cook for 5,000 people this prasadam and distribute it. And of course, along with prasadam, I were filling up Giri's van of devotees. There's 9 of us going, and to do kirtan through the we're starting outside Notre Dame and going down to the Eiffel Tower and Arc de Triomphe and all that stuff. So we invited the French devotees, so see what happens. So it's important that people get this higher taste, because the French cameras came a few days ago to here also, checking what we're doing, filming, and they love the prasadam. So it's very important that people get the higher taste, get Krishna prasadam, and these are one of the 3 activities that we perform: prasad distribution, book distribution, and Harinam. They're the basic things, but among that, there's many other activities that we perform. So the dreamlike state. Anybody could get on. It was an open competition for the whole country, and anybody could apply. Anybody could have gone in and cooked gulab jamuns or cooked, you know. But what the media were interested in was like an interesting story, you know. And then when they came and filmed homeless people, and I presented the economics of it and everything, they really liked that. I mean, there was people there cooking simple thing like macaroni, cheese thing, you know. The thing was, there was a £20,000 prize, and also your product would end up in Marks and Spencer's. And at that point, I was thinking that actually, it'd be very wonderful if you could go into Marks and Spencer's and buy prasadam. You know, you could buy khichdi, picture of Jagannath on it, and the Mahamantra written around the box, and you bring it home and heat it up, and you know, it'd be a very nice thing if we could do that. My kind of goal is to get a big warehouse where we could collect all this food and just cook up this massive prasadam that we could distribute to all the students, you know, and all people who need. Especially nowadays, there's a lot more homeless people, and a lot more. There was a law passed just a week ago about how it's illegal to do squatting. In fact, the first person in English history is in court this week. Oh no, he got sentenced. He went to prison. for squatting. No. For squatting it means like you go into some old house or something and you live there. So the first time in history someone went to prison for squatting. So people are, squatting means like, you know, like you move into a house that's not yours, a building, you know. In London there's many empty buildings, you know, people are waiting for the price to rise or something, and a lot of students go squatting. You know, it's a, you know. anyway, things are getting more and more difficult as Kali Yuga progresses. And we can see Kali Yuga, you know, has progressed big time in the last few years. In fact, I'm going to India, and even now to go to India, I have to get a letter to say that I'm not going to preach, you know. I'm going this time, I'm not going to go as a Hare Krishna this time, you know. But if we go as a Hare Krishna, I need a letter to say that I'm not going there to preach. I'm just going on a holiday, you know, space out. You know, that time we got 50,000 books waiting, waiting in the MVT, ready to go. You know, can't say that, you know. So it's Kali Yuga, you know. And the people who were chopping those crabs, They know of karma, they know of reincarnation. They're not, you know. So there's a lot of work that we have to do. We're all got responsibility. If you have this knowledge, it's like if you see some person walking over a cliff, and you have the knowledge, your duty to tell them, don't walk there. There's a cliff. You will hurt yourself. You will maybe die. So and also our type of preaching is not that we just have to stand from a box and blast people like we used to do in the past, but we through prashadam we can change the world. We can, through the holy name, chant it nicely, we can change the world. We had a very nice ratiyatra in Ilford on Sunday, and there were six policemen, and they were all horsing into the prashadam. You know, they loved it. You know, they loved it. And the police were even asked me for a recipe and everything. And there was one he was a politician, but he was a councillor. So he was there to checking that we were following what we were supposed to follow, because we blocked the road. The road was diverted, and all the buses were sent in a diversion. And at the end of it, he liked it so much, Jai Shri Radhika Kulanda, that he gave me £10, you know, and he said, we'll see you next year. You know, in other words, you're on for next year. Because it was like a test, were we going to do it nicely? Was there anybody going to get hurt or injured? And we had to, we rented a security company. They actually asked for 15 people. I had to just bring three people, you know. Anyway, I got away with it. But there were three devotees, you know. All the security were devotees. It was Jagannath Sutta and his friends, the security. So it was nice. So you had a festival and you got security guards, but they're actually Hare Krishnas. They're chanting away. And they're dressed up in their suits and everything with their badges and everything, but they're Hare Krishnas. So it's nice when things like that happen, that the politicians, the people who are administrators, they're supportive and they're helping. And that the policemen are, yes, eating the prashadam and very happy with the event, and that the security guards are devotees. So it's a very nice thing when that happens. And just all, like weeks ago, we had a thing called a slut walk. Slut walk, yeah, you heard me. There was all these ladies dressed up as like prostitutes, about 7,000 of them, and from the main stage, as my friend was one of the main organizers, and she was saying, "Yeah, get your Hare Krishna food over here," you know, and she was like, you know, encouraging everybody, because actually, in reality, the only men invited to these women's demonstrations are Hare Krishnas. They were the only men there. And every demonstration, they hate men. A lot of them are like, not this one, but there's some demonstrations where they're very butch girls and they kind of hate men, but Hare Krishna's no problem. So like that, we have something wonderful. It's prasadam, and it's just that we can give it, and then people will enjoy this kind of prasadam, and it will change their hearts. Because when you read, even in this second canto, it's interesting. It's funny. I picked out loads of things I was going to read from and forgot them all, but at least I can see the title of the book. It was the first step in God realization, and then the second chapter is called the Lord in the Heart, and the third chapter is called Pure Devotional Service: The Change in Heart. You know, so it's nice. You get the first step of God realization, Lord in the Heart, and then the change of heart. So it's a very nice thing. I just even actually, if you read the introduction on this chapter, this can actually be printed as a book, even just this first little piece. If you get a chance to read it, but it speaks about how Prabhupada went to the West, you know, just from a book distribution point of view, how in 1944 I began publishing my Back to Godhead. When I retired from family life in 1958, I published Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi. When the three parts of Srimad Bhagavatam were published in India, then I started for the United States of America on the 13th of August, 1965. So here Prabhupada's talking about his life based on the books. You know, he's not talking about, well, went to school then, and then I went to this. No, but here, this is Prabhupada's life, to what was very important, his books. I am continuously trying to publish books as suggested by my spiritual master. Now, in the year 1976, I have completed the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the summary of the tenth canto has already been published as the Krishna book. Still, the eighth canto, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th canto are yet to be published. On this occasion, therefore, I am praying to my spiritual master, give me strength to finish this work. I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master, and to the best of my ability, I'm trying to please him by publishing these books with the cooperation of my disciples in America. Very nice, isn't it? You know, probably really appreciated his disciples. Fortunately, scholars all over the world are appreciating these publications. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam just to please His Divine Grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So very nice stuff. We're born into an age that is very conducive to preaching Krishna consciousness because of the printing press. You can imagine, like, when the first Sankirtan party went out with Srinivas, Narottam, Shamananda, they had to do it all by hand, you know, get all the books, find some friends to do it all by hand. Now, I got 40,000 books. They cost 2 rupees, 65 paisa each. That's like 5 pence each, you know, 5 pence each, you know. And they're delivered, they're sitting waiting for me in the MVT. You know, they're beautiful color picture, you know. I got this year, we printed McGrary the Hunter. And so it's McGrory the Hunter has a lot of good philosophy, because nowadays many people are eating meat and Vraj. You got McDonald's and Mathura. You know, there's cow killing everywhere, slaughterhouses. The whole of India is, you know, going down. So McGrory speaks about vegetarianism. It also speaks about the power of the holy name. you know, there's a lot of wonderful philosophy in the pastime of McGrary. And also there's something about Srila Prabhupada there as well. So that's the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Yureta Katarekaha, Krishna Pradesh, Marjaya Gurhana, Taradesh. So any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. We give everybody, for people to understand the books, I believe they need to take prasad first. So first we give them one banana and one book. And they eat the banana first, and then they read the book. And in India, it's very fortunate, again, because people like to read. One person might read, one book might be read by four or five, even more people. I met one man. He had in his top pocket a book we gave him about 4 years back. It's still sitting in his top pocket. He's walking around with it. He takes it out, shows me the book. I swapped, gave him it. So India has that advantage, and also it's easy to practice sadhu life in India. You can get your. There's no problem in getting something to eat. You can do Madhukari, door to door, get rotis, everything. You know, it's very, very simple, and you can park up anywhere, in any village. Anybody will welcome you, even in a Muslim village, it won't be a problem. So those books will go, and also I'm coming back early, a few days early. We're starting a little earlier our parikrama, because we come back a little early. I've got a feed the 5,000 in Dublin. We're going to Dublin then. Also, this one in Paris, it was funded by the television station. So we'll be chopping the vegetables in the canteen of the television station. And so it's nice. You know, when you get cooperation like that. And when I presented the philosophy to the Irish television, they're asking me to go over now just to give some interviews. So you can see that we have something very important. And in Ireland, it was known as the slaughterhouse of Europe. So many cows have been slaughtered in Ireland. That is why also you have war in Ireland. You know, a very bad war. And so this is a solution. And it's unfortunate that we're only a small group, but still, that's the way it is. We can do a lot of great service, even though everybody here is responsibility. We can all go out and open up temples and open up restaurants. We can get the kirtan parties going. There's all these wonderful things, because it's susukam kartama vayam. It is a nice thing to do. Nice thing. Any other questions? Yes,
Will you be accepting donations
for all of you, or will you just give them? We could say, well, Prabhupada wants us to distribute books and to get donations and do like that. But no, I'm not collecting donations. Because I went around Mathura with a party of 8-9 devotees about 20 years ago. We spent the whole day going door to door, and we sold 2 Bhagavad Gitas and 6 small books. And it was a big endeavor. And I just felt now like just give them out, you know. You know, just one, and money comes. Money comes, you know. So I haven't got time to, you know, you know, wait for them to find some money if they can. But in the Padyatra in India, we were distributing, we'd announce it with the microphone, and people would come and, okay, who wants the Bhagavad Gita? And what's your name, Mr. Blah Blah? Okay, and he's given the Bhagavad Gita, Jai Haribo. And then the next guy comes up, they're queuing up, you know, because we mentioned their name to get the books. And you could do like about 50 Bhagavad Gitas in an evening. We do Gitas for the school teachers. The school teachers get a Gita, and also we do things like we give out pencils and copy books for the children, And, but of course they get the prasad and the book as well. But these are Brijbasi people, but Prabhupada, they need also preaching too, because now everybody's crazy, going crazy to become like Westerners. You know, they want to be like the West. They want to have money. They want to, you know, the Western mentality. They see it on the television. They got 80-odd channels of crap on the TV. They have all this. And they're being influenced by this. And they're desiring this higher lifestyle. So if we go there and we show them how to lead sadhu lifestyle, taking bath in the morning, you know, living, you know, door to door, then it will have an effect, I believe. At least we can do some endeavor, some attempt to present Krishna consciousness. Any other questions?